Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peterson.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peterson.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, here we go. The Big Friday Show. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Rodney, off the top, can I give somebody a shout-out real quick?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Jeff at Trader Joe's in Toluca Lake. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So I go in there all the time, and he came up to me one day, and he said, I want to do something for you guys. Love the show. And by the way, thank you to everybody that listens to the show every day. It really does mean a lot to us. I'm not just saying that. We take our jobs very seriously, and we appreciate everybody that listens and is a part of our extended family. And he goes, I listen to the show, love the show. I just want to do something for you guys, just to say thank you. I said, well, what are you going to do? He goes, come back in here the next day. And you saw it sitting in the other room. He gave us a giant bag of, I don't even know what they had in that store, snacks and candy and chips, and he filled that bag to the brim. He wanted nothing. He didn't even want me to mention it. I said, no, I'm going to mention it because it means something to all of us. So Jeff and the folks at Trader Joe's in Toluca Lake, thank you for the kind words.
Thanks Jeff. Random act of kindness, Fred.
Yeah,
it goes a long way.
Ronnie just brought it in. Ronnie, lean in here.
You got some goodies in here, Fred. You got some Ronnie. Cookies and some black licorice and wow.
Wow, that bag was full before you brought it in here, Ronnie. What happened?
Great. Yeah, I did sneak a couple of items out of here and put them in my mailbox.
Well, it's for everybody, so yeah. It's for everybody. Take it back in there.
Ronnie, you want some out of here?
Not right now. Thanks, Ronnie. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Ronnie.
Thank you. Trader Joe's.
And thanks to Trader Joe's. Thanks to Jeff and all the folks over there. Appreciate you listening to the show. Okay. So Avery Bradley, Rodney, he did what we thought he would do. He is who we thought they were. I'm Dennis Green. He opted out. That doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you?
No, it doesn't. You know, it's interesting because he opted out of the bubble situation. And then the Lakers go on and win a title. You got to wonder if he's thinking that he is, you know, has a market to get a pay raise. You know, or, you know, kind of what is he thinking? Because he did switch agents. He's still a quality player. I think even though the Lakers won, they certainly missed him. And his defense and things that he brought to the table, I just don't know if he's going to get a pay raise at this juncture. And who knows? Maybe he's looking to move to a different situation, but we'll see.
And maybe he just wants more years.
Yeah.
At this point. You know, we had a year left with the Lakers. He opts out. I think he was making $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody will give him 2 years, $10
million,
he's five ahead.
Yeah,
I mean, really, it might just be that simple.
Yeah, it could be. You know, and during these obviously uncertain times, you know, longevity is key. And so you might be right that he's looking for a multi-year deal, something 2-3 years that can lock him in, that he doesn't have to worry about playing the year to year. But interesting situation, you know. You never know what an individual's thinking and what their goals are. It just feels like if I'm in that situation with the Lakers and I'm trying to go back and be a part of that and win the ring next year as well.
Okay, as for Anthony Davis, he may not know what he's going to do till after Thanksgiving. Now, this sends off shockwaves and pangs of concern for people. There is absolutely nothing to be concerned about here. He's not going anywhere. What he's trying to determine is what kind of deal he's going to sign. And Kevin, there are multiple options here for Anthony Davis, right?
Yeah, because he's coming up on his 10th season. So if he is a free agent come his 10th year, he can actually sign a supermax contract, which would compensate him a lot more than if you were to sign a maximum contract right now. So it seems more likely than not, he's probably going to end up signing a 2-year plus an option, end up opting out a couple of years from now, and then signing the supermax.
And if he did that, would that not correspond with the end of LeBron's deal?
Essentially, yes. Okay. As currently constructed, LeBron's deal, yes.
Right. So if that's,
so by signing a 2 and with an option, it would coincide with LeBron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that would mean that LeBron would be up and AD could opt out at the exact same moment.
Yes.
Okay, so then they figure out what they're going to do with both of them. That would seem to make sense.
Now, they would give Anthony Davis a max right now if he wanted it. Right. They'll give him whatever he wants.
Right.
If he does the 2-1, he's leaving money on the table right now.
No. Okay.
Well, yeah, because it would be the supermax otherwise.
Can't get the supermax until
at this moment he can't, Fred. So by signing a couple of 2 years and an option and opting out, then he'll be eligible for the supermax and then he can sign it.
Right.
Okay.
So right now he's not eligible for it yet.
So by opting out or not signing it right now, he is set to gain a lot more money.
Yes. In the long run.
In 2 years. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. So there's no reason for anybody to start panicking.
I guess the question would be why, I mean, if we're talking this through right now and it seems to be the logical decision, why is he waiting until after Thanksgiving to make that determination? It could be any number of reasons. And Rodney, you've been in contract situations before, but what it seems obvious to us, I guess the question would be why would it take so long?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it just came out. Hey, I'm just going to get through the holidays before I think about anything. Season just got over with. Let's get through Thanksgiving, and then we'll focus on it. It could be as simple as that, or I don't know. It could be anything when it comes down to this. But I don't think, to your point, and the bigger question, there's no reason for Laker fans or anybody to panic. And, you know, Anthony Davis, you know, barring some kind of crazy series of events, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah. No. When you were playing and you had contract negotiations, did you have things wrapped up long before they were announced and people were speculating on what you might or might not do, and it was just a function of not announcing it at a certain time?
Yeah. Yeah. And it was a little bit easier back then because it wasn't the social media. It wasn't, you know, everybody had their, you know, had an ear to the street or had a deep throat in the front office or anything like that. But yeah, there were certain things that we had gotten done in training camp and before the season started, but didn't want to announce it until the season actually started.
And
to
why
make a big splash?
And make a big splash.
Well, make a big splash, yeah. Or didn't want to have a distraction, or they may have been, you know, other guys that were in negotiations too that didn't want to, you know, you didn't want to announce it while they were negotiating their contract. So there's a variety of different reasons.
Okay, so now for the purposes of our conversation, AD's not going anywhere. Avery Bradley, let's assume, is gone. Let's assume Rondo is gone.
Why are you getting rid of him, Fred?
I'm not. I'm just saying he's going to get paid somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, so he'll be gone. I mean, things could change, but for this, he's gone. KCP, he's a tweener.
That's a 50-50, right?
Yeah, he's a 50-50.
Does he get paid? Does he get a big offer on the open market?
That's the question.
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, we made, what, $8 million
this
year?
Yeah.
So I would think based on how he played and what he can do as a 3-and-D type player, he can probably get about $12 or $13 million base salary per year on the free agent market. So if you're the Lakers, the question is, would you want to bring him back at that number, or would you rather have that money freed up for somebody that you don't have at the moment?
How old is KCP?
Was he 28, possibly?
Yeah, he's not 30.
Yeah.
He's not. And you know what? If that's the case, let's say it's 12, 13 million, but you got to give it to him for multiple years. I say thank you for playing. I say thank you for being here.
He's 27.
All right, and good luck to you. I don't think you pay him that, because if you have that money back, I think you can do more with it. I think you can find a KCP for less than 12, 13 million. I don't know who that would be, but I think if you look around, you can. I thought he was fine. I thought he was a contributor at times, but he was not a guy that you could count on.
What's that number? Say if it's, he said, I'll settle for 10. Give me 10 for 3 years.
No.
No?
Really?
I wouldn't give it to him for 3 years.
You wouldn't give him. You wouldn't give him 3 years, $30 million.
If you look at his whole body of work with the Lakers, his entire body.
He made eight, right?
He made eight this past year. And so every year, like 20 his first year,
right,
I think.
And kept reducing.
Yes.
Right. If you look at his whole body of work in the years he's been here with the Lakers, I'm not sure you can count on this guy game in and game out going forward.
Maybe he turned a corner.
Yeah.
Maybe he did and maybe he didn't.
Which it felt like he did in the bubble in this situation in the playoffs.
Yeah, he picked up the slack that Danny Green didn't and played well and found his role and found his niche.
Which they thought he was going to be that guy when they signed him.
Yeah, the manna from
heaven. 3 years ago.
They weren't even expected to do much at that point. LeBron wasn't here. It was a hodgepodge of players at the time. I don't know if you can even go off of his first year because that's a wash. Everything changed once LeBron got here.
Hey, look, if they sign him good.
And he had the anklet on.
Well, that was a bit of an issue as well.
Distraction.
Yeah. Couldn't travel out of state.
Yeah.
That affected his jump shot because the anklet weighed him down.
Exactly. Yeah.
He couldn't get the elevation he needed. All I'm saying is if they sign him, fantastic. For a number of years, I just wouldn't do it. I would go in a different direction.
My question would be, Fred, since we're on this, so you have a list in front of you of guys.
Mm-hmm.
If not KCP, who would you want to replace him with?
Okay, and this is a list that Kevin came up with this morning. Yeah, just guys.
I'd say some realistic free agents that the Lakers could target with the mid-level exception, the full non-taxpayer, which they have right now, and they would have that if they decide not to sign KCP.
Well, if you're talking about not KCP, Serge Ibaka would not be the guy to replace him. Serge Ibaka doesn't play KCP's position.
No,
are you talking about a guy?
I'm talking about the compensation for the amount of money that KCP would make. These are the people that would slide into that position and would still contribute at a high level.
Okay.
No, he would not replace him as a 3-and-D 3.
But he would replace him somewhere else.
I mean, he still can make shots from the outside.
Rim protector.
He's good defensively. So.
All right, I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to be shocked.
I'm shocked.
I'm never shocked by anything you say at this point, Fred.
No, you will be shocked because, you know, I had to walk it back, and I did.
Uh-oh.
I did.
Uh-oh.
If he plays as he did last year.
You ready for it, Rodney?
I am. I know where he's going.
I don't see why you wouldn't. Roll the dice on Carmelo Anthony. Let's go. I don't see. Seriously, if he did what he did with Portland, I think I'd roll the dice there. I think I'd hit the point before I crapped out. Yeah. I'd look at Melo.
Could you get him for cheap? Cheaper than KCP?
Yeah. Would you, if it was for the same amount of money, would you rather have Melo or KCP?
I would rather. All right. Let's say we're going to sign them both to 2 year deals.
Okay.
Let's start with that.
All right.
For 2 years, I would take Melo. Given the way at KCP's money. Yeah. Given the way he played for Portland last year. Because even defensively, he was better for Portland last year.
He was better.
He was better. I'm not saying he was great.
No.
He plays that Matador defense. Olay! And the guy goes right by him. But
so when you say KCP's money, are you talking about what he made, $8 million? Or are you talking about like split the difference between what he's possibly could make on the open market at 12 or 13? So are we saying 2 years, $20 million? Would you do that?
Yes. I would make that deal.
For Carmelo.
For Carmelo.
As opposed to KCP.
Yeah. I would make
that deal. Look at you. What day is it today, Kevin?
No, people.
It's Christmas Day.
People.
That's what it sounds like. What the hell happened? Where's the Fred Rosen that we know?
November 20th, 2020. And Freddie is on the Carmelo Anthony bandwagon.
Given the way he played, how he turned himself around, I mean, he was an entirely different guy. Be fair.
Absolutely.
He was an entirely different guy. He was Dwight Howard, except he can shoot.
Yes.
Dwight can protect the rim.
I know what it is.
What is it?
I think the Grinch's heart has melted after getting that Christmas care package from Trader Joe's.
Oh, that's
so nice. Thanks, Dad.
That's so nice. I'll tell you somebody else I would look at as well. I would look at Marcus Morris. He's available.
He is.
I like Marcus Morris.
Yeah.
Now, the Lakers had Markieff. Markieff is also available.
He's solid, and he could be an option to come back.
Right. I would look at either one of the Morris boys.
We love Markieff, but we'd rather have Marcus. Marcus is the better of the two.
Or what you could do, since they're twins, is give them one salary, and they alternate when they play.
I don't think that's legal, Fred.
No,
they could look into that. Something new. Rob Pelinka,
we're not afraid to change things. We can't do a parent trap here on the Laker roster like that. Just have Markieff one night and Marcus the next.
And you split the money.
One retire and they trade off playing games.
Okay, you've got Paul Millsap on the list.
Older veteran, but can shoot from the outside.
A little long in the tooth for me.
He is, yes. And he's had a history of knee problems, so that's not good.
Jay Crowder's interesting.
The weird part about Jay Crowder, he went to Cleveland with LeBron, and things did not go well between the two of them, and it seems like they didn't get along that well, but Jay Crowder is still being linked to the Lakers for some reason. So
Joe Harris?
Excellent outside shooter. You would think the Nets would want to keep him, but if he is a free agent, unrestricted. If you're the Lakers, someone that can shoot from the outside is someone you would covet.
Okay. The other names you have on here are Tristan Thompson, who will be the guy if LeBron has his say.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't know if he will be the guy.
Yeah.
He's someone they will consider, and LeBron may put a bug in their ear saying, hey, maybe take a look at Tristan and see what
he doesn't give you anything offensively.
Correct.
Yeah, but at the right price point?
He'd be replacing Dwight and maybe JaVale if you offset him, and he can be that hustle guy that can get you do some dirty work.
And the other name you have on here is Gallinari, who I think can really shoot the ball.
Oh, he absolutely can.
I wouldn't mind seeing him.
Not do much for you defensively.
And he played defense. That's the thing, too.
Yeah.
You know, what you're getting with what we started is KCP is a 3-and-D guy. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to give that up. You know, Gallinari can shoot, yes. But so can KCP. So you also get defense with KCP. So I don't know if that's a good trade-off.
And keep in mind that you're conceivably losing Avery Bradley, so that's another one of your better perimeter defensive players. So on what you're gaining, you know, offensively, you're losing a lot, and your identity last year was your defense. So you're kind of unintentionally changing on the fly. You're bringing in some offensive production because even Melo, Fred, it was better defensively, but still nothing to write home about. I'd say KCP is still a better perimeter defensive player than Melo is at this point.
By the way, did you see the story about the giraffe in the Memphis Zoo?
That they named it after Ja Morant?
Ja Morant.
Yes, right. I did see that.
Ja Morant. You think the people at the zoo stuck their neck out on that?
Wow.
Now, Kevin, I told Fred this off air because I was dozing off last night and had Channel 4 on and the news came on, Freddie came on, and then I heard him talking about this, and it felt like a Twilight Zone because he was rambling off those kind of jokes. Giraffe, John, did he think they stuck their neck out? And then he went into some other rant about Carlos Santana on another deal and Jimi Hendrix.
But there was no rim shot at the end.
Oh, I don't know what I was listening to. I woke up in a cold sweat.
Yeah, it was Fred's voice. It was amateur night, I guess.
It was. He was trying out new material for the federal down there.
Okay, Dodger fans, we've got the name. The name that you might want. The name you might be really excited about. But you need to be careful what you wish for. And that's next.
If you missed any of Rogan and Rodney, you can podcast it on the iHeartRadio app.
Rogan and Rodney.
AM 570 LA Sports.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Not one bit.
No, we don't.
No, we don't. Big Friday show. Anything goes. Who wants to play a little Know Your Squad? We're going to do that at the bottom of the hour, and we will give you the cue to call, or if you want to time it, about 8 minutes from now. Give us a call, and the first person in will have a crack at Rodney and Ronnie today on a Friday.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right. Dodger fans, here's the name. John Paul Morosi is reporting this. We're going to bring Andy McCullough on here to talk about it. Nolan Arenado. Local guy, signed the huge deal in Colorado, Nolan Arenado. Let's get Andy on right now. Andy McCullough of The Athletic. Andy, how are you today?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Good. Okay, so the report's right off the bat. Nolan Arenado. Maybe the Dodgers might want to kick the tires and make a play for Arenado out of Colorado. Do you like that?
He's a really good baseball player. He'd make the team better. Yeah, sure. Why not? I don't think it's going to happen, and there's a lot of impediments to it. But yes, Nolan Arenado would make the Dodgers better.
See, here's my concern. I know he tears the cover off the ball in Colorado. Personally, I like him, but away from Denver, is he what he is there?
So it's a great question. I mean, I think it's, you look at DJ LeMahieu, right? He was for the most part, he was a pretty average hitter all those years with Colorado. And you can see the way his, you know, performance has kind of taken an uptick since he's gone to the Yankees. And so, you know, one of the things that, the Rockies hitters talk about a lot, you know, Charlie Blackman's kind of become like the canary in the coal mine on this because he has such outrageous home road splits. But just talking about, like, while yes, it is great to play as a hitter at Coors Field, but it's fairly miserable to go from that environment to somewhere else because it's just completely different. You know, the baseball moves differently. You know, there's like, you have to make sort of eye level adjustments. You know, curveballs don't break the same. Fastballs have different hop, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so it's actually, you know, what the Rockies hitters have been saying for a little while now is they've determined that, like, playing at Coors Field, while it's very nice when they're there, is actually far more of a problem when they leave because they're just in a different offensive environment. So it's a long way of saying, like, yes, Arenado has a pretty significant home road split, but I don't know if that just means that he's a product of Coors Field. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah, I think on average, if you know, most guys, like you said, would have a difference in home run road splits with Colorado, and it would take them getting out of there, like you just talked about with LeMahieu, to really mm-hmm. figure out what exactly is, you know, is going on with them. But I asked a question. He's a great player. I love his game. I love his intensity. I love everything about him. But at the same time, do the Dodgers really need him?
Well, no, they don't. They don't need anything. I mean, they're the best team. Like, Andrew Friedman could do absolutely nothing this winter, and they should be the favorite to win the World Series next year. But, you know, part of the thing that, you know, they didn't necessarily need Mookie Betts, right? I mean, like, he obviously was a huge factor in them winning the World Series, but they had enough talent to do it without him. So I think it's just a matter of, like, if the issue with Arenado is not so much the Dodgers' interest, it's that, you know, will the Rockies actually trade their signature player to the team who is their premier in-division rival? There's a lot of skepticism that that would happen. You know, and the Dodgers also, like, they want to sort of maintain the flexibility to, you know, whether it's sign Corey Seager long-term, sign Cody Bellinger long-term, or go after someone like Francisco Lindor long-term next winter. You know, I don't know if they necessarily want to commit that big salary slot to Arenado. So it's, you know, we'll see. I would bet against it, but they certainly have the resources to get it done.
On the topic of Corey Seager and signing him, Bellinger and Buehler, you got three guys. Do you think anybody bites and signs early and gives up years of free agency?
I don't think so. I mean, Buehler would, if they could figure out a way to pay him through his arb years and maybe buy out 1 year of, you know, free agency, that would be something I think worth considering. But he's not a free agent until 2025. There's just no reason, you know, I mean, for as great as he is, he's also, you know, a guy who's had elbow surgery. You know, there's no real reason to extend him just yet, frankly. I mean, I know that's like kind of a cruel thing to say, but like, he, you know, yeah. And then for Seager, he's a year away from free agency. You know, it's unclear what the market is going to look like. He's, you know, there's a case to be made that, you know, he could be a $250 million type player, if not more. You know, we'll see. I, you know, in order to sign him now, they would have to probably overpay a little bit because you have to buy out his free agency in a way. You know, you got to pay him the premium of not going into the market. And Bellinger is still, you know, he's not a free agent until 2024. So, I don't know. I don't really foresee any of those deals. It's something that, you know, Andrew Friedman did fairly often when he was in Tampa Bay and the resources were limited, is they would buy out, you know, arbitration and things like that, and to try and get some free agent, you know, try and get a year or two of free agency. And he's done it almost not at all with the Dodgers. I think that should let you know, sort of how necessary those type of contracts are. I guess there's always this like weird, the player has to be willing to take that sort of deal and the team has to want him enough to take that, to make that sort of offer, and those two sort of interests rarely converge, I should say.
Hey, Andy, we threw this out a couple of weeks ago, of those three guys, Buehler, Seager, and Bellinger, and you can only keep two. You can only sign two. Which two do you keep?
Oh, man, that's so difficult. Oh, man. I believe that for as good a player as Cody Bellinger is, I think Seager is a better hitter. At the same time, Bellinger offers a level of sort of durability that Seager does not. Seager's been a little more injury prone. Then again, you know, Bellinger underwent surgery this week. So like, that case is a little dinged. I guess honestly, I would probably just take the two hitters because you want to bet on them long term. But man, this is really, I don't know. What did you guys say? This is tough. I don't know.
Well,
because Bueller's like awesome. I don't know.
Yeah, here's what I say. I think you're nuts.
That's what I say.
About what? What'd I do now?
All right, here's what you did. If you've got a guy like Bueller that could be an ace, that could be a stopper, that could be that guy for years, I think he's got to be one of the guys you pick because we know when you get to the playoffs, Andy, that's what you need.
Yeah, I think the question, though, is like in terms of like when you pick him, what is this? Like, you know, long, like who do you want to give a long-term contract to?
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, I just would always bet on hitters over pitchers for long-term deals, even for a pitcher as good as Bueller. So you can make an argument for any two of the three, and I don't think, you know, it would be a bad idea. Those are three of, like, the top 25 players in the sport, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. I always thought – I thought the same way. I was like, okay, for me, you got to lock up Bueller, and then it's a tough debate toss-up between Seager and Bellinger if you got to pick the other one. But I get what you're saying to keep the hitters because long-term contracts, that's – you know, you kind of not always sure about consistency year in and year out of pitchers. All right. So going back to, you know, Arenado, what do you think the Dodgers do with Justin Turner? Do you think they let him finish out as a Dodger, make him something that he can finish in the Dodger blue uniform?
I think so. I think that there was some, you know, obviously from pretty much everyone involved, there was a lot of frustration with how, you know, the World Series celebration went. But, you know, I believe that is probably water under the bridge and shouldn't, you know, affect things long term. He has a lot of, you know, connections to the clubhouse, the front office, you know, the coaching staff. I mean, he's still a very, very good and effective player. He's been throughout this run. You know, he's the only guy who's basically performed every postseason. And, you know, he is willing to probably take a, you know, slightly lesser role of playing, you know, 120 to 130 games to keep his legs together so that he's ready for October. And I think, you know, yeah, if they could get him on a one-year deal, that would probably be great. It would probably have to take a two-year deal. But if with the DH, in theory, definitely coming in after the next CBA, or not definitely, but most likely coming in after the next CBA, if not next year, I think it's worth it. So, yeah, I would be pretty surprised if he signed elsewhere.
Final question, 30 seconds, Trevor Bauer. If he says, I'll take a two-year deal because I don't want to be anchored down anywhere and I like my options open, at $25 million a year, do you give it to him?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, two for 50, sure. Yeah, he's a good pitcher. You know, he'd make the team better. I think I don't suspect he will take 2 for $25, though. I think if he's doing a two-year deal, the AAV will be much higher. I think the issue with Bauer, I mean, look, if you can get him on a one-year, two-year deal, yeah, every team in baseball should be after that. It's more if he's looking, you know, to try and actually maximize, you know, this window and get like a 6 or 7 year deal, then all of a sudden it becomes a less sort of reasonable decision for a team like the Dodgers, who frankly, you know, need pitching but don't need to fill up a big salary slot when they have, you know, like they have to make the big decisions on Seager, Bellinger, if they're going to be in play on, you know, Lindor, Story, Baez, Correa coming up.
All right. Andy, good stuff. Really appreciate you jumping on. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, guys. Have a good one.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad.
All right, Hendrick and Torrance, are you there?
I'm there. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. How are you today?
Pretty good. First time, long time.
All right. Well, welcome. It's Know Your Squad. Don't answer until all five choices have been given, okay? If you answer too soon, you're locked out.
Okay.
All right, Ronnie, you ready?
Absolutely. Don't feeling good out, on a Ronnie. Friday. Let's go.
Ronnie, don't get locked out.
I'll try not to, Rod.
Okay, and today the squad is... the Clippers. Here we go.
All right, let's go.
Oh, good. You know the Clippers?
No, I'm scared.
All right. Hey.
He said, the Clippers.
I got to be honest with you, Hendrick. These guys don't either.
No, we don't.
And Hendrick, let me be even more honest with you. About 95% of the people that might be on today.
Oh, stop it. Stop it, Fred.
Is that wrong? Is that...
what is wrong with you?
Oh, man.
Okay. Try to keep this above board now.
No, now.
That's right. Now. Prior to the 2017 season, the last time the Clippers missed the playoffs was in 2010. Blake Griffin was their leading scorer that year, who was second on the team in scoring that season. Was it Eric Gordon, Baron Davis, the caveman Chris Kamen, Mo Williams, or One Eye Mo Green?
Eric Gordon.
Eric Gordon, Rodney is correct.
Ronnie said Eric Davis.
I said Baron Davis.
I thought he said Eric Davis as well. He was knocking the ball around with a bat.
Yes, he was.
That's right.
You're trying to cheat already, Fred? Come on.
Well, wait a minute.
It's not my fault you can't hear, right?
Rodney heard it as well.
I'm blaming you, not Rodney.
Okay, that's fine. Hendrick, you ready to go again?
Yeah.
All right. Of the men who played at least 25 games for the Clippers last season, which of them had the highest three-point field goal percentage at 41.2%? Was it Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Patrick Beverley, Reggie Jackson, or Randy Jackson?
Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson is...
Paul George.
Paul George is correct. Hendrick on the board.
There you go.
Hendrick, good job.
Thank you.
Okay. Here comes the next one. Good luck to all.
Oh, no.
DeAndre Jordan is the franchise leader in career rebounds. Which of these players is second? Is it Blake Griffin, Bob McAdoo, Loy Vaught, Elton Brand, or Elton John? Elton Brand, Ronnie.
Why so quick? You said that before Ronnie even answered.
No, you...
Wow.
Did I?
Brand, are you cheating?
No, you said it,
I mean,
Ronnie.
I'll take it, but are you cheating?
Yeah, Kevin, you felt that too, Ronnie.
No, like Ronnie before, answered, and then I said
giving it to
Ronnie.
Ronnie before he even finished his answer.
Did Ronnie say it?
Ronnie did say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Ronnie got it, but I'm just saying, man, so he's, quick.
Well, he said Elton Brand, Ronnie. He got it. Wow. Now you're accusing me of cheating for you, Ronnie?
A little bit. Yeah, Ronnie's he's a stand-up guy. Right, Ronnie?
Trying to protect my man, Rodney.
Yeah.
Don't corrupt Rodney, Fred.
Look, okay. Ronnie, he doesn't have to cheat us to beat us.
Okay.
And Fred don't help him.
Ronnie, I can assure you, you won't be getting any help now.
Now Fred's going to cheat again.
No, I can promise you.
He's going to cheat against you.
There's not going to be any problems.
He's really going to cheat.
Okay.
Oh, Fred. Why are you so sensitive?
I'm not sensitive. By the way, Hendrick, everybody's tied, okay?
All right.
All right, here we go. This is a big question. Which of these players is the franchise leader in career free throw attempts?
Oh.
All right. Attempts, the key word.
Yes.
Corey Maggette, DeAndre Jordan, Danny Manning, Blake Griffin, or Eddie Griffin?
DeAndre Jordan.
It is no good.
Blake Griffin.
Danny Manning.
Corey Maggette.
Yes.
Kevin,
Fred's
Kevin,
face.
Can you reword the board so Fred can read it?
What's going on over there?
Fred's head's moving. His head was on a swivel. Fred, what were you looking at?
What was he doing?
Kevin, is it possible? No, well, I mean, they're all over the place, Rodney. And sometimes I hit, you know, and that's not what we need.
No, okay.
Next week.
Yes.
Oh,
my is it
God.
Possible?
Look at that thing.
Look at this thing. I mean, what do you...
I'm not a racist.
I'm not. That's not the point.
It's gibberish.
Right. Can we please take all of the drops for the game?
Yes.
And put them lined up in a row? Can we switch the order around?
Yes, we can.
Thank you. Because that's exactly what happened.
Kevin mark it in crayon for you too,
yeah,
Fred?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need
Maybe
that.
Maybe I can just color code.
Why don't you take it home for a weekend project, Fred?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Boy, you were—I don't know what you were like. You were like somebody in a home looking for his ice cream, over there, trying to push the button.
All right, so here's where we're at. It's the last question, Hendrick. If you
Let's
get
go.
It, you're tied. Okay.
All right.
Ronnie, if you get it, you are tied. Rodney, if you get it, you win. Good luck. Chris Paul, Rodney's favorite player.
Yes.
Is the franchise leader in steals with 2.2 per game. Which of these players is second with an average of 2.0 steals per game? For the win, is it Ron Harper, Mark Jackson, Gary Grant, Randy Smith, or Bessie
Mark
Smith?
Mark Harper.
Gary Grant.
Wait, stop. I want everybody to stop. I heard the correct answer, but I think the person gave the wrong first name. I will read the choices again. Somebody combined two names. Ron Harper, Mark Jackson, Gary Grant, Randy Smith, or Bessie Smith?
Ron Harper.
Ron Harper is correct. It is Ron Harper.
Wow, that's how you're doing it? Running it back and doing it in slow motion? Because people said stuff in the beginning, and you, just because you couldn't hear it?
Kevin, did anybody answer that question correctly?
I thought I said Ron Harper.
I thought you said Mark Harper.
No, Ronnie said Ron Harper.
Mark Harper?
I thought he said Mark Harper.
No, I said Ron Harper. That's the second time, Fred.
Yeah, why would Ronnie say Mark Harper?
I thought he combined the two names.
He did not.
Hendrick, did he combine the two names?
And you're asking Hendrick?
There's definitely some collusion going on right now.
Right, there's collusion.
There's no collusion.
And Hendrick's not pleased with it.
There is no collusion.
All right.
Were you in Michigan?
No.
I think we get a recount.
The best.
Oh, no.
All right. By the way, you know where you can find Gary Grant? Former Clippergate.
Yes, Michigan
Wasn't
star.
Wasn't he a neighbor of yours too, Fred?
Yeah, you can find him at Ralph's in Calabasas.
But he
just hangs out at Ralph's?
All the time, just at Ralph's.
Yeah, he's hanging out at Ralph's.
Just hanging out in the deli section.
Yeah, or you can find him at the Sagebrush Cantina.
Yes.
Just walking around.
Is he wearing a mask?
I haven't seen him in a while, but that's where he is.
How do you know he's there?
Well, because that's where he always was. By the way, he has a wonderful, beautiful daughter who's just delightful. She's come over to the house all the time. Just a little insight. Hendrick, I know you don't care.
Did you ever invite Gary? You guys have drinks or something? Or you just leave him standing outside of Ralph's?
Or just the daughter?
The
daughter. We're getting drink.
That's not creepy.
I work at Ralph's for Coca-Cola.
Oh, there you go. Hey, Gary.
Yep.
Can you send your teenage daughter over, please?
Yeah.
You stay in the bar at the Sagebrush Cantina. Oh, God. All right, Hendrick, thank you. You have a great Thanksgiving, okay?
Hey, thanks, guys. Thank you.
All right. All right, next hour, we're going to open the phone line. And Dodger fans, we want to hear what you think about Nolan Arenado. That's coming up next hour.
I am so proud of all of you.
Bravo.
You're doing really well.
Great job.
Socially isolating, wearing a mask, working remotely when you have the opportunity, generously tipping your strippers.
Hot Wings Williams, Lap Dance Lou.
Okay, so a setback here and there. But hey,
this accident occurred.
We got sports back. Job mostly well done. LA's best sports talk is AM 570 LA Sports. And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon delight.
I'm trying to get you high. I'm trying to get you fly. I'm trying to get you high, girl. I'm trying to get you fly. I'm trying to get you fly. I'm trying to get you fly, girl.
Tell him McCartney I'm dripping on swag and I swear it's a
whole. All right.
Today's
Afternoon Delight is Stella McCartney by Nav. Just 1 week after collaborating with producer Weezy on their mixtape entitled Emergency Tsunami, they released this bonus track as part of the Reloaded Edition. In addition to the album featuring artists like Lil Key, Young Thug, and Lil Baby, Nav recruited Atlanta rap star Future for this track. Again, today's Afternoon Delight is Stella McCartney by Nav featuring Future.
You know what I say to that?
What you say, Fred?
Call me.
Call you?
Call me.
You like call me, huh?
I do.
Yeah? That sits well with you, hits with you, huh, Fred?
You know it does.
Yeah, I know.
Because I pick up the phone.
Yes, you do.
So, that's why call me resonates.
You pick up the phone, Fred?
Call me. I'll pick up the phone.
That's why it resonates with you, huh?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. People know that about me.
Yeah, they do.
All right, next hour, Dodger fans, you're going to have a chance to weigh in on Nolan Arenado. But now we want to bring Phil Lee onto the show. Here's the deal with Phil Lee. He was here last year. You know, every year we do the annual Radiothon to help veterans. Well, obviously, with COVID this year, we're unable to do it. And by the way, the Radiothon, what do we make, $250,000, $300,000 a year from you, our listeners, our family members, wanting to help the veterans? We can't do it this year. So what we are doing now is trying to make Thanksgiving a little better for our veterans. And with the Justin Turner Foundation, we're actually delivering turkeys to veterans. Phil Lee was here last year. He donated. He's donated again this year. And he wants to come on for a couple of seconds, and we want him to come on. So, Phil, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for what you did last year. You know, for our listeners that don't remember, you actually were in the station with us last year, and you brought your son, Aiden. You met everybody. Aiden is now serving in Kuwait with the Marines. And you made a big donation to the Veterans Radiothon, and you've done it again this year, haven't you?
Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad I'm able to help because I think our vets need help.
No, absolutely. They do. And you know, for you to make that donation and be a part of it, I mean, when you and your son, as Fred mentioned, serving in Kuwait, when you see our vets that are struggling and to be able to lend a hand, we certainly appreciate it. You know, but it feels like it may mean even more to you because you do have a son that's serving. Talk about him, his journey, and his life, and then what it means for you and your family to be able to help others.
Well, he wanted to be a Marine. I'm gonna try not to get emotional here. he's wanted to be a Marine since he was 6 years old. And we have a history. He has a history in his family or our family of people serving. So my dad was a vet. He's passed away. My brother did 21 years in the Corps and is now actually a civilian working for the government. My brother-in-law served. My father-in-law was a Marine in Vietnam. Trying to think. Oh, my dad's brother was shot down in World War II. Never came home, obviously, somewhere in the South Pacific. And I also have an uncle who served in the Navy. So my family's kind of served all throughout. I never did. But he wanted to do it. He got all ready to go to college, had 80,000 in scholarships and stuff set apart and had his roommates picked out, his dorm and everything, and then just pivoted and said, "Nah, I'm going to serve. It's what I really want to do. I don't want to go to college." So we said, "Let's do it." He went down, signed papers, and 2 years later, he's over there blowing stuff up and having fun and, you know, working as a combat engineer.
I don't know, Phil. It sounds like there's nothing more fun than just blowing stuff up.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you this. We homeschooled him through eighth grade. And I work out of the house. I've worked out of the house for, I don't know how many years, 25 years or so. And I'd hear him doing stuff out in the backyard, his own little experiments. And he taught himself how to make gunpowder, how to make explosives. And he'd say, you know, "Come on out back, Dad, come on out back." And I'd go out here and he'd blow stuff up in the backyard, just small explosions, nothing big, you know, but he's been doing that since, you know, junior high. And, obviously loved it, enjoyed it. He's a great marksman, loves shooting and stuff. So now he's getting to put it all to use. And, you know, he wants to go outside the wire, so to speak, and chase people. I'm fine if he doesn't. If he's inside the wire on base, that's cool with me. But ultimately, the Marine Corps is going to do what they do with him.
Phil Lee is with us, Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports. Phil, again, donating this year to help veterans. And the donation will be going to the Dream Center LA. It'll provide necessary funds to house a veteran for 1 year and help feed L.A. with Thanksgiving dinners this holiday season. You know, Phil, driving down the street, more so than ever, you see people living on the streets. I mean, it's now to an epidemic. And my heart goes out to each and every one of them. And I'm sure if we were to break it down, many of those people are veterans. Many of those people have served this country and come back and find themselves on the streets. When you see that, how do you feel?
Well, it's horrible. I mean, you think about it, they literally sign up. When you sign up for the military, it doesn't matter if it's the Corps, Air Force, Navy, Army, whatever, you sign over your life to the United States government. And you say, "Here I am, do what you're going to do with me. You know, let's keep this place safe." Some may be, you know, administrative people. Some may be special forces. Some may be cooking. It doesn't matter. They're all doing something to support us. So when they get out of a life that's been regimented and structured for them, if they're not ready to then take that back themselves, it's a really hard thing to do. Just, I don't know, because like I said, I haven't served, but I've talked to guys from Dream Center who did serve, came home, and found themselves homeless. And they said, you know, "I just wasn't ready to do all this on my own, to get myself out of bed, do this, do that." And they found themselves on the streets. They found themselves struggling, and Dream Center was there. So, you know, when you hear those and you actually meet people that have gone through the process at Dream Center and literally changed their lives, are, you know, married, have children, they have good jobs, they've completely gone full circle and they're back going the right way, you know, how can you not want to give to that? I don't know how you can't.
No, absolutely. And with your donation, you know, we're one step closer to reaching our goal, feeding thousands during this time. And, you know, it's hard anytime. As Fred mentioned, you drive down the street, you know, any single day you see a number of homeless folks, especially here in L.A. And but during the holidays, during Thanksgiving, Christmas time, it's got to be even tougher on families, on everybody when you see that. So every little bit helps. What would you say to people out there that are considering donating and getting involved?
Well, I'd tell them if you have anything left to give, you know, it's the end of the year. It's been a rough year for people. COVID's been horrible. It's done a lot of stuff to, you know, locally and nationally and even worldwide, depressed economies and things. But if you've got anything, I mean, I read all this stuff, and I know that even $20 makes a difference, $5 makes a difference. There's an old African proverb. I think it says little by little makes a bundle. You know, just a stick here, a stick there doesn't seem like enough. But if you pick up enough, you're going to get a good roaring fire going when it's time. And it's the same thing with money. So if you got 5, 10, 15 bucks, just give it. Give it to somebody who, you know, sacrificed. It's what we should do, because when these men and women get out, they often don't have a whole lot with them. If they just did a 4-year tour, they're not getting a lifetime retirement. They got to put in 20 years to get a full pension and everything, or, you know, all their benefits. So if you have anything at all, just give and go visit the Dream Center. Go meet them. They're there. Tours are available. That's how I found out. I mean, I went down and actually met people, and it was well worth the time.
Our goal is to help feed L.A. by serving thousands of turkey dinners with our partners at Dream Center L.A. and Justin Turner Foundation. Make your donation today at am570lasports.com. Any amount will help feed L.A. Phil, happy Thanksgiving, and thanks for coming on today.
Happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thank you.
Our pleasure, Phil. Good guy. And, of course, you can be a part of it at am570lasports.com. All right, Johnny Velez listens to the show every day.
Yep.
He's got a tweet. Given what happened earlier in the hour, what's the matter, Fred? Is your Fisher-Price My First soundboard not working again?
Technology and stuff.
It can be confusing. But we're going to get it all cleaned up. And next week, we're going to start fresh. All right, this hour, Vinny Bonsignor will jump on. Bottom of the hour, Rams and Tampa, huge game. Huge game. With Andrew Whitworth out, what will that mean for the Rams and the protection for Jared Goff? When we come back, we'll open the phone lines. Dodger fans, we're going to give you a chance to weigh in here. Let's get into it. Would you make a move for Nolan Arenado if you had the opportunity? 866-987-2570.